Father, consume us with your spirit this morning. Help me take all these plethora amount of scriptures and accomplish your word and will with them in the time frame I have, that I will be impacted and we will be impacted because we are your church now. And the church said amen. We're in Acts, episode 3, found in Acts chapter. I'm hoping to get through Acts 3 and part of 4 today. Sometimes I smush, but I'm not going to smush today. We're slow rolling because I think it's important. I want to recap some points. Kelly loves recaps, so let's recap some points. One thing we learned so far in the series is that we're to wait until he fulfills his promise. Remember, we talked about how many are waiting on some promise from God that's not fulfilled yet. And this hand was like full, right? Ugh, that was me. And what did God tell them to do? I promised you that. What are we supposed to do? Wait till it shows up. If we don't, if we fake it, it's not authentic. And if we rush it, we get something that ends up being miserable in our life. Substitutes for God are substitutes for God. So how long were they supposed to wait? Do you remember? Indefinitely. Till. There's the word, till. Well, how long have you been waiting? I've been waiting on this. I've been waiting on something a long time. I've been waiting. Been waiting on that. It feels like forever. Anybody feel like they're waiting forever? Something like that. Imagine waiting for the Messiah 700 plus years. Waiting. Not even get to see what the promise was. Waiting. God's got us in a waiting place sometimes. Why? Because he wants us to wait until authentic shows up. What do you do while you wait? Alejandro minus last week. You pray while you wait and you get your house in order. What's that mean? Well, you look at your emotional, spiritual, physical being. Talked about Peter. First thing they did, while we're waiting, remember? Why wait? We got to fill a position. Why? We're not complete and we got work to do and there's a job and we need to fill this spot in our house, right? And I got an emotional problem with it because he was a betrayer. Anyone else recognize that's a problem? Are you all grumpy about him being a prayer? Yeah. We got emotional junk to clean out. We got to get forgive him and move past that. If you're waiting, you may have an emotional, physical, or spiritual house to get in order while you wait, right? Most important thing we learned is being authentic. Don't fake Jesus. There's enough fake Jesus out there. No one needs it. You can't ever be perfect Jesus, but you can't fake Jesus. Right? The church needs to be authentic. Say, I am the church. And if we're the church, we have to be open to whatever God wants to do. And something that's a little different than what I want to do. Anyone else have, like, I have things I want to do. And God said, that's not what I asked you to do, but I'm going to be that anyways. I feel like that's why my knee snapped. I was trying to be what I wanted to be for him. I was serving God at the time. I was in. I wasn't hanging out in the crowd. I was substance free. I was working out every day. I was the most shredded I've ever been. I was going to change the world by being the best undercover police officer the world may have ever seen. And I knew friends that were on the other side of the law were going, oh no. He knows all the inside secrets. I do, and I'm coming for you for Jesus, you know? And I wanted to be that. And once my leg snapped, one of the lessons I learned was, you're trying to do what you wanted to do, and that's not what I asked you to do. And I got scars. Anybody else have scars from those moments in your life? I got scars, right? We got to be open to whatever he wants. So that being said, let's jump all together into Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3, and I'm in the NLT for this series primarily. I feel at one point in time, the box that's usually here, I won't notice it, it's here, and I'll set my glass down, and that front row is going to get shamooed. You know, SeaWorld, Splash Zone. Acts 3. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. I'm going to slow roll, Jen. You'd be like, did he move on yet? Sloth movements. The Hebrews had 3 prayer services a day, I think, right around there, Jeff. I always, even if like, just fake it. Just go, yeah. You're the Hebrew expert. You just go, yeah, sure, Pastor. I researched this about that. And more importantly, I love this. Jesus had men who prayed. Jesus raised men who prayed. Wasn't the girls fedding up the prayer services? It wasn't, thank God for the women who pray. It was men who pray. And I love that they're going to do what they knew to do, and they knew as men of God and followers of Jesus Christ is something we need to do on a regular basis. Pray. See, pray. It's important, right? It says this, as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth never walked. Never walked, ever. Lame from birth. And I started thinking about that, feeling bad for him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit just like lets me feel bad for somebody, taps me on the shoulder and shows me how lame I've been from birth. I've been lame. I didn't walk right. I didn't walk upright for Jesus. I was lame from birth. All of us were born lame from birth. You might have been born into a Christian family that serves God, but you were born lame from birth. It says all have sinned. So we all have lameness. So I went from feeling bad for him to like, oh, Jesus, I forgot. A man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg. Beg from the people going into the temple, said the church. Yeah, beg from people going into the church. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. No, the lame man did not ask for healing. What he asked for? Money. He asked for their generosity. Hey, I noticed you're going in there. You pulled into your church in the Range Rover. You popped out. You know, I have not eaten since Thursday. You could smell me for a block, and I just really want a hamburger. You got something for me, bro? Their hope was there in their generosity. But I want you to picture yourself now at the Beautiful Gate. This is you. Not in Jerusalem, but the gorgeous gate between Walmart. I got a picture of it. The gorgeous gate between Walmart and that pretty little zombie church next door. Right over there. You know, just picture you're over there. You just came from Walmart. You picked up your, you know, I don't know what you picked up at Walmart, your breath mints before you came to church. You're, oh, I got a greeting today, you know. And here's a homeless disclaimer. And it's a kind of a poke at our hearts. Some homeless have been great to deal with over the years. And we've helped them. Food service has got some delivered, set free. It touches our hearts here. But also no one be led by only God, because that can be a pop-up danger situation too. We've had security problems. We've had issues. We've had my law enforcement friends and some goombas next door say, hey, if this person shows up, they may be sweet, but I'm telling you, we've had problems. We've had those things before. You got to be, you know, discerning. Kid safety, number one priority, right? But picture yourself at the Beautiful Gate nonetheless. You are a disciple. And as you stroll up, like, you're ready to come in. You're like, man, I wonder what the worship set is today. You get up there, and all of a sudden you feel this intensity of God speaking to your soul. Like, you know, see that guy over there? Yeah, the one that we gave him $4 last week for a burger. Yeah. I want you to go do this. While you're driving over from Walmart on the way to church, picture the lame guy, lame since birth. But he asked you for $3. Acts 3, 4 through 8. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. Now, sometimes that's uncomfortable, right? Look at my life. It sounds arrogant. You want to see how good God is? Look how fantastic my life is. Ooh. Well, that's not what that means. It's saying, I know what I deserve and how messy my life is, and I shouldn't even be alive right now. You want to know how good God is? Take a peek at what he's done in a guy like me. That's kind of the heart of it, right? Peter says, look at us. We're called to be looked at. That's not comfortable for some of us. Some of the kids came up here for their promotion, like, man, I got to go up there. I would have never promoted had I had to get up on front of everybody. Forget that. I'd have messed off. I'd have stayed in second grade for 7 years. I'm not getting up there. No promotion, you know. It's uncomfortable to be looked at. But as the church, as humans, for Jesus Christ, we're called to be looked at. How are they going to see Jesus unless they're looking at us? So that should make us think about how we're looking. Not just on the outside, but how we're looking. You know, I got snuck a Oreo from Uganda. I didn't realize it. They're passing out treats. So far, so good. Gummy fish, loved it. Gummy this, into it. Sour thing, fantastic. Here's an Oreo. How can you screw up an Oreo? I've been into it. I said, what? It looked like an Oreo on the outside, but it has some kind of like dental floss stick flavor on the inside. I said, come on. Don't be looking like a good Oreo and tasting like a dental floss stick. Say, I am the church. Something about that. Look at us. Now, here's the thing. We're called to be looked at, but not looked to. And that's a problem. That can be a problem. The more fresh and consistent your personal relationship with God is, the greater your faith is going to be expressed. You don't got to manufacture that moment. The closer you get to Him, those moments will come. And love that goes unexpressed really isn't love at all. So we have to start expressing that a little bit. I think it's time to be refreshed. And here he says this. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Money's helpful. In lots of situations, you know what to do? Send money. Like, what do we do for Nick and Jess? Send them money. Well, can I paint her toes? I don't know. We have to ask her that. But I know that money would help, you know. Lots of cases, it's very helpful. And it's what he was expecting. So I started thinking about, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on from God? Because like I said, that sometimes can be differently than what you're expecting. Sometimes we only expect here. God wants us up here. And sometimes we're expecting. And God says, good or bad? What are you expecting? Messiah was on his way, but they're still expecting. Man, Sometimes you're expecting something little and something big shows up. That's like, woohoo! I wasn't expecting that, you know. Adam and Sabrina have made me food in the past. And I, you know, people say, I made you something yummy, dairy-free. And I go, those words don't even go together most of the time. Trust me, I live in that world. Oh, I'm going to make you this yummy, dairy-free thing. And go, well, thank you so much. Yeah, you get home, you go, I got to try it because they're going to ask me about it, but. And you bite into it, you go, oh, and all of a sudden you become a smizer, like, I got to hide this. Dairy people, don't touch this, you know. Stay away. I remember I got invited to a GC Lopes game once by Dr. Tina Harshman and her husband, Pastor Marty. And I'm like, all right, I'll go to Lopes game. Cool, 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 cool. And I expected, you know, to sit someplace. She's a teacher over the doctoral program there. It's awesome. But I expected to sit, like, you know, just like a dude in some seats. She got us some seats. And all of a sudden, we're walking down the steps, like past the row I expected to sit in. Boop, boop. We're getting down there like, oh, yeah, Dr. Tina scored some seats, you know. And we're sitting like about six rows up center court. And she leans over. She goes, these seats are better than the president's seats. I said, yes, way better than I was expecting. Go Lopes, you know. We waited for the Samoa trip for a lifetime to take the girls there. I had plans. Miley was coming back from Tanzania and going to run part of the discipleship program there. I had a plan. I was expecting, we're in. Apostle broke his leg, and all my plans got sucked out to sea. Wasn't what I was expecting. That happens to us sometimes, doesn't it? It does. He was expecting some money, but Peter said, I don't have any. Silver and gold, I don't have it for you, but I'll give you what I have. You know, here's a profound statement. You ready? You can only give what you have. Is that profound? You can only give what you have. But listen, you can hear that a couple ways. You can only give what you have, so be at peace. Ever feel guilty? Like, I wish I could just give more. You know, like when I saw we're buying a water pump for the kids in Africa, you know, I love that. I'm stoked about it. But it's like this tiny cup of Dixie cup of water on a forest fire of need. But I can't take care of the forest fire. But that doesn't mean I can't give my Dixie cup because that's what I got. One fire at a time, you know. I was telling Dr. Heidi, when I was in first grade, I joined a very exclusive club called the Smoky Bear Ranger Club. And Smokey Bear taught me only you can prevent forest fires. So I took that to heart, you know. We got a job to do, and sometimes you can only give what you have, you know. People call all the time with all these big needs. I don't have that, you know. But hear it this way. You can only give what you have. So what do you really have? I'm talking to disciples right now. You're over at Walmart at the Beautiful Gate. What do you have? Like, where's your relationship in its depth and strength to bring somebody? Like, what do you have? How much Christ have you let be in your life? Because the world is at a place where they're asking for something. They're expecting one thing, but they need what you have. And so we got to analyze, what do I really have? I know Peter had a big relationship with Jesus. And Peter was coolly and instantly, recently filled with the Holy Spirit. So he walked with Jesus, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's got authentic Jesus. So Peter's like, hey man, I don't have any cash, but I do have big faith right now. And I do have God's Spirit, so here you go. I'm going to give it away. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarite. Remember, his name, once again, is not a magic word. I've seen it used in the body of Christ as a magic word. In Jesus' name! In Jesus' name! Jesus' name! Jesus' name! You know, here you come on, Bethany, you've seen it. So that's why she's laughing. She goes, I probably saw that guy once. Jesus' name! You know, it's like it's not a magic word. But if you have faith in the power of that name, in a life that's in proper relationship with that name, and an authentic belief in what that name really means, and sometimes, bingo, stuff happens. The one lady in Africa bent over, you guys are talking about the story, just went by this little miracle. And she's bent over, she couldn't walk. She wasn't coming to crusade, we weren't talking about healing. We just saw her. So she wasn't faking it. Like, I'm going to get prayer from this evangelist. I'm like, oh, I'm healed. Can I have 20 bucks? No, she was someplace. And God showed up. And she could walk upright. They gave what they had. Right? Authentic stuff happens. He says, I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. I hear that like a boxing title. In the name of Jesus. I don't know why he calls him the Nazarene. Like, here he is. Remember that guy? In this corner, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Jesus, the Nazarene. And I flex with it. You know, Blake? I'm just like, or I see Blake and Alejandro, I flex at him. They're like, Pastor, what's up with you? You know, I just do it. I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. And he jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. He never did that before. Sometimes when I read that, I think, well, he was injured and now he's walking again. No, he had never walked before. Authentic God encounters will change the way you walk. It'll make you walk new, not how you used to walk. If you've encountered Jesus Christ and you're walking exactly the way you used to walk and doing the exact, I'm not saying you have to get rid of stuff. There's things that go off a little bit at a time. I'm still working on stuff like pride, selfishness. Anybody else? Help me out. Shout out your sin. Never mind. You know, I'm saying whatever God's working on, I'm still letting work on me, but I'm not what I used to be. Because why? He changed the way I walked. I had to walk differently if I was following him, because he wasn't walking where I was walking and doing what I was doing. I was doing it different. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk, and then walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking. He went into the temple with them. Walking. Matt, picture that. Jody opens the door, this dude comes in, spinning, you know, Cirque du Soleil style. Woo! You're like, was that the guy? Was that the guy that Pastor Sharon usually gives a hamburger to? Yeah, you're not kidding. Are you kidding me? Derek over there prayed for her. He just said like a name and boom. And then, yeah, she's woo, twirling about. Praising God for what he just did. I love that he wasn't fussing about all the years of things God didn't do. Feel that a minute. How often in our life that God has done such ridiculous things for us. The first words out of our mouth when he hasn't arrived with the thing we want, we fuss about what he hasn't done. I am the church. Happens, right? Come on. Got to feel it. God always deserves my praise. Authentic note. God changes usually lead you to being part of a church. I see a lot of little rangers. Oh, say that the church is terrible. Well, you're part of the church. Hey, hey. Let it be read to the right place. Don't be a cancer and a problem, but go and let God train you up, because you should be leaping and praising God with life, and you got to be part of something God's doing. And you have to be next to a brother sometimes. Like, hey, breath check, Pastor, you getting on stage? Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate that. I breath checked him before he proposed, didn't I? In the airport, I go, hey. I speak publicly. I carry one of these. Toss it to him. He's like, right on, Pastor. That's why I brought you, you know? right there, you know, right there. It's about, and here's another big note. This particular moment, I want you to note this, because it's important, because sometimes we put pressure on people. We don't understand. God doesn't always do it the same way. He always is God, but sometimes. In this particular one, it wasn't the lame man's faith. It wasn't his faith that healed him. You're not healed because you don't have the faith. Sometimes they need someone else who has the faith, who really has what God has in that moment to come to you, because sometimes your faith isn't there. Anybody? Come on. I love our church being authentic. Thank you. He expected money. That's all he expected, but he was healed just the same. So I started thinking about, what did it matter? What was the secret sauce? I was looking for the secret sauce from God. Like, how does that? Let me find the secret sauce. And I felt like he said, sometimes it just takes our availability and then our faith in him. Just be available to him, right? That can change someone's life. Ever had someone that just made their life available to you in some way when you're trying to find Jesus and it just changed everything? God got glory And you saw, could you say this one? You say, God, I'm available. Make me authentic. So this lame guy is healed. He's going back to church. Everyone agrees. Every time an injured person finds Jesus, it's a great day at church. Every time an injured person finds Jesus, it is always a great. I don't care if, like, well, the music's off today. Dave's drum set caught on fire. Terrible, yeah. Hannah was singing so loud, glass was breaking in the neighbors next door. Couldn't believe it. Pastor Sharon was sleeping on the keys, you know, and Pastor Shaw was just laying on the floor the whole service. Never even spoke. If someone gets healed from some kind of injury, whether it be emotional, physical, or spiritual, and God does it authentically, that's a great day at church. It's not all about all this. It's about what he's doing in here, right? That's what is happening. So that's a great. So I was lame when he found me in many ways. I was going to make you say I was lame, but I don't want you to get your esteem down. You know, I was lame. But picture that beautiful miracle happened at the gate over there, all because you authentically had something of Christ in that moment. If you've never had a moment where God put you in a place where you gave him what you had, maybe you didn't have miracle faith, but you had $5. You don't usually have $5. If God hasn't put you into a place where you felt like I needed to give something more than I had, I'm going to encourage you, ask him this year, but let him stretch you there. Let him put you in that place where you can be looked to, looked at, but not to. Okay, just it could happen. I've seen miracles happen, so I want you to be ready, because there's lameness everywhere. I don't know if you noticed it, but there's a whole lame world around us. Lameness. At the gates of our lives, they are parked every day. You drive by lameness every day. Might not be in the street corner. You sit next to lameness in your office. Lameness might share a dinner table with you. Lameness is all around us. What do you have to give them? Say, I am the church. There ain't no way I'm getting through all this today. Acts of the Apostles 3, 9 through 12. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. I bet it was quite a spectacle. How could you miss it? And if someone walked in here like twirling and shouting and leaping praising God, we'd be like, hey, do we need to call the police? You know, when they realized it was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. I love to hear people go, you know, you're like Jacob Villarreal. I knew him back in the day. Man, I can't believe how Jake turned his life. God gave him kids. That guy didn't deserve no kids. That guy should have been rotten in prison. Have you seen my friend Jacob? You seen what God has done? You see my friend Jacob, right? We talk about that stuff all the time. You know, astounded. I love when people go, man, Jacob's a different guy. Yeah, he is. Whew. Kaylee's not where she was. No, she's not. You know, William, he was a pumpkin head, but now he's not as much a pumpkin head. He's like half pumpkin head, you know? He's like, Pastor, I'll punch you right square in the nose. That's where you're out in adult service now. You're open for me to just grab you. You know, that's how it is. It says, they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. The people that brought you to Jesus are usually really special in your life. Think about who they are right now. When you first got a real taste of Jesus and they brought you to church and they brought you someplace, they're special. They hold a place. But I want to caution us in this. I want us to be careful and think about this. How tight do you cling to someone else's relationship with Jesus? How tight do you cling to your mentor, your pastor, your psychotherapist, your best friend, the dog? How often and how tight do you cling to them versus how tight do we cling to Jesus? That can be a problem sometimes. Right. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us? Why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? The glory for all things needs to be shined on God, not anyone else. I have to be careful because it's just judgmental, but I've seen people build ministry around people. Building ministry around people. Or building ministry around cool miracles that God did. But come here. This is the place. I'm the guy. Don't build your ministry around you. Don't build your ministry without anything but serving Jesus. And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have a ministry. Don't take God's glory. Instantly, God did something cool. Praise him. He's good. Bang, God did that cool thing. I love when he shocks me. Like, my faith is like this. He did what? I'm like, yeah. I'm jumping next to him. You see me spinning around. Yes, we see in worship sometimes. I get excited because I'll see someone. I know what God did. I'm like, yeah, I love that. And I can't growl at you like I do Blake. I just got to go, yeah, you know. Acts 3:13-14. For this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, who brought us glory in his servant, Jesus Christ, by doing this. The same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. So he's going, look, Pilate wanted to let him go, but you, everyone's happy, like, look at this miracle. And Peter goes, let me tell you what you did. But you rejected the holy righteous one, and instead you demanded the release of a murderer. Sin always clouds your perspective. I was anti-church and maybe anti-Jesus without knowing it. I definitely was more towards, does God exist? And it was right in front of my face all the time, and I always found myself doing this at people. The blind, ignorant, they don't know. We've all been blind, we've all been ignorant, we've all been born lame. Right? Acts 3:15. Then he says, you killed the author of life. You know, God came down and you killed him. That's not like the first sermon you wanted. Like, I wouldn't thought like that. I wouldn't have gone there. I'd be like, look at this guy's healed. Let's everyone spin and leap with him. Let's thank Jesus for him. I'm going to go, here's an opportunity. Now Walmart's paying attention. I got you here. I want to tell you a few things. I wouldn't have thought of it. He said, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this fact. Say facts. Through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. Peter's actually applying grace here. He's like, hey, I'm going to say, I get it. God was fulfilling what all the prophets had told before, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins. Here's the thing that's missing. I think it's overpushed by church. And it's under push by church. And I'm trying to be a guy of balance. We talked about the gifts last week and the Holy Spirit and tongues. And here's my balance in that. You can't be a church of Jesus Christ and say sin doesn't exist and things that God says is sin isn't sin. You can't do that. That's his word and that's what he says. And I don't have to like it. I just have to agree with it. There are things in there I change. Like my own Lord, I just was like, I was raised in the 60s and 70s. Love the one you're with. You know, I got more tied out than most of you other than Hallie. You know? But I can't serve Jesus and not speak truth. But I also don't have to be every opportunity, you scurvy little dog, get down in your face because you're nothing but a worm. I can prove it to you. I'll take you through the scriptures. Pirate dad, I don't know. But I've seen the overbalance of that in church too, shouting as you drive by, you're a terrible sinner. It's true, babe. You're never going to catch any fish that way. Not for Jesus, and that's lasting. They need to look at your life and see that it's really true and it's really authentic. When they bite into your life, hopefully they're not getting a minty flavored Oreo. Authentic Jesus, right? Repent of your sins and, so there's a repent of your sins, and turn to God. Turn to God so that, why? Your sins may be wiped away, say Jesus. Isn't that good? It's not a magic word, but he does clean things with proper application. With proper application, Jesus cleans things. Repent of your sin, turn to God. Those things should be tenets of any church that you find, whether it's here or not. If you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you've got to find that repentance and turning to God. If repentance isn't being taught, it's not the gospel. Turning to God is not being taught, it's not the gospel. Right? Sin exists. God defines it. We all fall down. There's nothing that could be done about it except, say, Jesus. Can't work your way out of sin, just Jesus. Right? Acts 3:20. Then, what, after we repent and turn to God, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, the appointed Messiah. Ever have one of those moments with God where you just laid it out, you just totally repented and threw your whole heart out there, and you made a vow, I'm in, 100% in, and you've done that? Anybody ever do that? The weight that's off your chest is incredible. You feel like, I'm free. Zach Brown song. Free as you ever be. Right? Never. I can't do it. Anna, help me. You know, it's a Zach Brown song. I'm free. Like, you feel it, you know? You know, you're driving that car, and that song comes out, you turn up like, you're not free. You know, you got debt. So for a second, I'm free on Highway 60. Right? That's kind of like the feeling when you really give Jesus what he asked for, your repentance, and you turn to him, a little Zach Brown breaks out in you. A little freedom. It does. He says, for he must remain in heaven until, there's that word, until the time for the final restoration of all things. As God promised long ago through his prophets, Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people. Everyone look at your neighbor and do this. You know, that little emoji on your thing that's just got big buggy eyes. What did I just read? That. If I won't listen, I'll be completely cut off. Oh, you know, there it is. Acts 3:24. Starting with Samuel and every prophet spoke about what is happening today. Ever feel that when you read your Bible? You go, man, that's happening. Wars, rumors of wars, check. Volcanoes, earthquakes, got it. Mean people, see them. You know? You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. Got some young people about ready to enter covenant marriage, covenant relationship. Check out where the word says covenant, and it deepens something in you, right? For God said to Abraham, though your descendants, all the families, through all your families, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Every family on the earth, through every one of your descendants, every one of them are going to be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to the people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. There's a back turning sometimes we have to do, right? He said, I want you to be blessed. You got to tell somebody how good he is. Jeff usually does that more than anybody else I know. You know, he could be walking in here, be pulled on a giant skateboard. Jeff dragged Jeff into church while he hadn't slept for 4 days. Well, he had to fight a bear. Yeah, I don't know. But praise God. Praise God the bear didn't kill me. You're right, Jeff. I'll praise God with you for that. No. Recall last week the challenge I put up to you. I don't know if you remember, but I asked each one of you to use your life this year to reach somebody for Jesus. Use your words if you have to. But use your life. Find someone in your lameness this year that you have a little more Jesus than they have, and you give it away liberally. You'll never know how that changes people's life. They just need a real taste of Jesus, and you might need just enough. You might just have a Tic Tac full, but that's enough. Right? Just a little bit of Jesus. Acts 4. We're almost there. I'm going to do this. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some Sadducees. And the leaders were very disturbed, but Peter and John were teaching the people through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. I like when religious folk get agitated. It's one of my things. I used to take too much joy in it when I was a punk in private school. I would agitate for no reason. But I like righteous agitation. It makes me laugh. Okay. Dr. Heidi's not in here. Good. Acts 4. They arrested them. Now, Jesus warned them that it was going to happen at times, didn't he? I didn't expect it so soon. Like, we waited for a while, 40 days, the Holy Spirit. Like, yeah, you're going to be arrested and beaten. Like, yeah, when I'm 96. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put him in jail till morning. How nice. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled 5,000. You have no idea the impact of your life. Don't minimize the authentic relation you have with Jesus. It's supposed to impact a lot of people. Maybe 5,000 at once, maybe 5,000 for the course of history. You just never know. Acts 4, 5 through 7. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers and religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, the relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power, whose name have you done this? Next verse. I love it. Then Peter, what's it say? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, before he didn't have that. He needed God to show up before he could be this. You know, some of the things God asks you to do, you feel like you can do, but without the Holy Spirit, it's not going to work. You can have all the courage in the world, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's hard to face the lion. Lots of times we run. That's not how it was. We are being questioned today, he says. Are we actually being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Now join me with Alejandro and say, come on, man. Come on, man. Are you seeing? That's why. Come on. Are you actually? Are you guys? You put us in jail. You're all torqued. Every one of you. You put us in jail overnight. And they say, why? How? You're upset because a crippled dude who's been crippled from birth is leaping and dancing and praising God. You had the problem. Amy, you got the problem. Nonsense. Come on, man. That's how I hear it anyways. Peter might not be as sarcastic as me. Do you want to know? Do you want to know how he was healed? Okay, turn it back. Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you. Everyone here up. He's like, listen up. I'm going to clearly say this. I'm going to say it one time. I'm going to say it clearly to all you people that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Jesus, then he goes right into Jesus, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For this Jesus is the one. He's referred to in Scripture where it says the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And then he drops the bomb that we all need to remember, because in our world, and some people even say that it's a Christian church, this is important. Peter says there is salvation in no one else. Look at your neighbor. I got you, Emily. You pick a different neighbor. Say, there is salvation in no one else. No one else. Not even a good Christian. No one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. Acts 4:13. This will be my conclusion. I got 3 minutes. I got it. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Say it's the Holy Spirit, right? The boldness of Peter and John. I would never be on stage my whole life to do anything if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. I don't enjoy it. I'm not a people person. Oh, man, not people person. I see you. We know, Pastor. We get him. Doc's like, I know. It's the Holy Spirit. We're amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. But here's the key. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. That's the goal. You want to have an impact for the world? Spend time with Jesus. But what about spend time with Jesus? Well, I listen to so-and-so on the podcast. That's great. But are you spending time with Jesus? I read my Bible. Fantastic. You checked it off the list. You got your daily bread done. But did you spend time with Jesus? I'd rather than you read four chapters, read one verse that you're on your face and you're letting him talk to you about it in ways no one else can talk to you. And you have a moment with your Father and you're changed forever. You bring that relationship to Walmart's gate. That changes lives. The lame people in your life need that. They don't need you reciting chapter and verse. They need you to have an encounter with Jesus. Say, be authentic. So as we close, my homework for you is this week. Be with Jesus. take an extra 15 minutes out of your life. Say, I already do. I spent 14 hours with Jesus. Good. I'll mess you for 14 to 15 minutes. You're like, you know, I don't have it. My life is so busy. Trust me, I'll lay a schedule down with you. We'll see who's busy. But you prioritize what you love. That's why relationships are broken a lot, because love wasn't prioritized. One of my favorite things, I saw a picture of a couple that were counseling. Looked just like Jesus to me. I saw a picture of it in my office of Christ in the church. It was the most beautiful thing. Because someone put on their paper, what do you want from your future spouse? Expectations that I want when I walk into the room, or when they see me for the first time, I want them to be happy. And I want them to embrace me. I want them to let me know I'm special. And then the bride said, to be said, that's on my list for him too. I want to do that too. And I thought, isn't that how the bride's supposed to be with Jesus? Whenever he shows up, we should be like, here's my problems. No, how you are here. And I love you. And I want to spend time with you, not because of what you do for me, not because of what I'm asking, what you promised me. I spent half my time in prayer telling you what you promised me. When you're telling me to wait, but I'm telling you what you promised me. Instead of just telling them what you promised me, spend time with Jesus. Can you do that this week? This week, as the church, extra 15. All right. Father, I pray as the church this year, we'd be so full of authentic Jesus, he'd leak out all over the place. Signs and wonders would be amazing. Lives changed when he'd be better. Father, we're asking you to change us so that we are going to be open to you and whatever you want to do this year. We're going to authentically connect with you and give authentic Jesus away. That you'd be glorified in your church. And the church said, amen.